and then I'm going to have to duck out because I've got another meeting coming up.
Okay, I understand. I got that email. To start with, what's your background on brain implants?
Well, I was in a doctoral program at Brown University for brain science. And then I have helped start a handful of companies in the field.
Okay. And what is the potential of a brain-computer interface?
I think the potential of brain gators is absolutely tremendous. I mean, for people who are suffering through injury, trauma, or otherwise, the ability to both help them allow them to communicate, but also help them enable prosthetics and chairs and other devices just in thought. I mean, it's absolutely tremendous for the handicapped population. And then, of course, for you and I and others who are, in my case, less disabled, not completely. More fully functioning people, the ability to use your thought to control electrical devices is really the transformation of science fiction to reality.
And do you have one brain implant in yourself?
I of course do not. No.
Okay.
There have only been about 5 or 6 patients. Implantations that have been implanted at this point, and there's very limited FDA trials going on right now.
Okay. And what is the potential for the ability to see what people see, like use people's vision as a video camera through either with a miniature video camera or through the neurons? Have you ever heard of that potential?
Again, like everything else that is being processed through the brain, vision is processed through electrical and chemical reactions, and the ability to actually tap into those electrical connections, similar to what you do with brain gate, is real, and it is going to be a reality. So again, that can be used for good or evil. For commercial gain or to help humanity, but the potential is there, it's tremendous.
Uh-huh. And what about being able to hear what people hear?
Again, same exact thing. You're talking about electrical impulses, and the ability is absolutely real. And you can use that for many different purposes and uses, but that is certainly something that is not out of the realm of reality.
Is it currently, do they have brain implants that can do that? That could, yes.
Currently not that advanced, no. But there are brain implants that are getting close. There's one that is working towards allowing the blind to actually see. You effectively have a brain implant that hooks to what looks like sunglasses. Those glasses are actually processing information that you would normally be looking at. Of course, the patient would be blind. And that then feeds that information to the computer chip and directly into the mind to give that person the sensation that they are actually seeing something. And it works reasonably well.
Wow. And what about, getting my questions here. And does the technology exist to read people's thoughts? If they don't actually hear something, but if they're just thinking?
To read people's, I'm sorry, you said that.
To read people's thoughts, what people are thinking?
Technology that I'm associated with, I'm the chairman of a company called BrainGate,
uh-huh.
Does just that. That's exactly what it does. So this is a microchip that's implanted in someone's brain, and we effectively read the thoughts of the person. In our case, we're trying to do it to control movement, So we can determine that someone is trying to move a mouse cursor, interpret that, and allow the mouse cursor to move just with the thought. Mm-hmm. You can play video games on the computer using this technology.
And what about if they think in words? Are you able to distinguish what words they're thinking?
Guess I don't understand the question.
Oh, if someone thinks, you know, like I am going to go to the store, would there be a way to actually read or hear that person think that they're going to do that, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whether you're thinking in terms of symbols, words, or otherwise, in the brain, that's all translated into neural activity. So if you can tap into that neural activity and you can uncode it, then you can determine exactly what that thought is. Yeah.
And so when you look at the computer, do you see what people are thinking in their brain, or what can you actually decode at this point?
Right now, we're still there in the very early stages of the technology. And again, our company, our technology, is being used principally to help paraplegics, quadriplegics, locked-in patients gain mobility and be able to communicate with others. We're not trying to look into their minds and see what they're thinking. We're trying to look into their minds and help them function better, help them communicate, help them move around in their environment.
Okay. And what about with Alzheimer's patients?
The potential is definitely there, but a lot less so. Alzheimer's is a degenerative disease. So the brain is deteriorating in Alzheimer's, just as it is in mad cow disease. And that really wouldn't be a particularly good application for a brain gate technology.
Okay. And have you been able to use them so that people who have like prosthetic arms are able to move their arms just with their thoughts?
We've done research in that realm, and there's research being done at Duke and at MIT, Caltech, and Brown right now in animal trials, not yet in human trials. But we believe that we will be able to get there. And we have seen a human be able to remotely control a prosthetic arm, but it's very limited domains at this point.
Okay. And have you, what about with ubervalence? Are you familiar with the term ubervalence? It's one day about being able to monitor people using a brain implant type device. And how are they powered?
How are the implants powered?
Yeah. Huh? Yep.
In the same way that any other electrical device is powered, typically through batteries. It is literally a silicon based computer chip. That ties in either through wires or wirelessly into a computer.
If it's wirelessly, then how would you keep it charged in the brain?
There'll be a battery within a small system in the brain, or just above the surface of the cranium, the skull. And that battery would transmit then the information to the computer, which would store the larger battery, obviously.
Okay.
You need very, very little power.
Okay. And what?
You can also go and do some research. If you go to braingate.com, there's a good amount of information on that, and that site probably in the next month or so is going to be updated far more significantly, so we get a lot more background on some of the research.
Okay. And what about the ability to use the electrical power from a person's neurons or some kind of a fuel cell, so it would last a long time? So you wouldn't actually...
That's possible. The way that the brain generates power and gets its energy is through oxygen and the blood supply. So I think we're a ways away from being able to tap into that. Interesting idea.
Okay.
Very interesting idea.
If it was used wirelessly with the battery, how long would the battery last? Before you need to, how would you charge it?
Years and years.
Because it just uses so little?
You're talking about an implant the size of, literally the size of a small M&M.
Okay.
These are very tiny, they use very little power.
Okay. And how far can the wireless frequencies go?
Unknown right now, but with the technology that's out there these days, whether it's Bluetooth or typical RF frequencies, it should be a reasonable amount. That's something that we have to test in the academic research lab.
Okay. Have you heard about law enforcement with an interest to be able to, interrogate or question someone based on their thoughts? Have you ever heard of a law enforcement with...
I have. It's more science fiction than I think close to being reality, but I certainly have.
Is it Department of Homeland Security, or is it just, have you heard of real interest from law enforcement to do this, or?
I think there's absolutely interest. I think there's always been interest. That's a long ways, away. But again, a lot of the funding in the academic lab comes from government agencies. DARPA, the VA, no surprise, but there's more broad interest and application in this, in the defense side and law enforcement side, there's nothing near reality on that.
Okay. And how does, from a electrical and computer standpoint, how hard is it to transfer the brain's code into a computer interface?
It's incredibly difficult, and it's taken years and years and years of technology advancement to be able to do it. You're basically converting a biological system into a computer system, but fundamentally, the brain's computer system, neurons, isn't that different than a computer system. So fundamentally, in theory, it's reasonably straightforward. In practice, it's turned out to be incredibly difficult.
And have you heard of the breakthroughs in terms of being able to translate from certain neurons, or do you have to go to different neurons to different places in the brain to get, like, say someone spots or what someone hears or what someone sees? How hard is that to break down different sensory perceptions?
Well, neuronal maps have been around for the better part of 100 years, and they're getting better and better and better. And the answer to the first part of the question is yes. Depending on what you're trying to do, you have to put the computer chip in the right spot to be able to read the right type of neuron. The brain is always on, it's always active, but you want to get as close to the most active, the hyperactive neurons as you can. So if you're trying to analyze, interpret, or leverage motion in the brain, you want to get closest to the neurons that are interpreting those motions. and the same thing true of speech, vision, or anything else that's on the brain.
Okay.